let there be light. And there was. Love that. It's like voice-controlled lights. It's awesome. Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're here today. Today has been an awesome gathering so far, hasn't it?
Yes.
It has been. Woo. Do I need to switch mics? Can you hear me now? So I don't get to use this hand for hand motions, so you guys will just have to deal with that. Well, I'm so glad you're here today, and I'm so glad to be in the house today. I know our nation has so much going on. There's so many things that are happening around our world, but I'm so glad that you decided to come here today and join us as we worship, as we get into God's Word, and as we do just that. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I want to have you pull it out. You can turn. We're actually going to turn today to Mark chapter 4. If you have a Bible app, you can pull that out as well. It's okay to pull out your Bible app in church. In fact, if you're using the YouVersion Bible app, we've actually created an event that has all the notes and the scriptures for today. You can follow along with that. That's something somewhat new. Or maybe it's somewhat old and we're bringing it back, but it's there. So this is... We're starting a brand new series today called Habits for Life. And, you know, summer is one of those seasons. There's seasons of life. There's the fall seasons and winter seasons and spring seasons. But there's something about summer that kind of gives us this unique opportunity. I don't know about you, but it allows you to kind of hit the pause button on some of the activities and chaos, things that we normally do throughout maybe the fall and the winter and the spring. Summer gives us a little space. It's one of the things I love. I love, you know, this last week, getting to hang out with about 100, no, I don't know how many people there was. How many people were at the fireworks display? Do you know, Joe? Thousands. There was like 10,000, I think, is what they were estimating. It was fun to get to hang out with 10,000 of my closest friends and watch some fireworks. It was a lot of fun. But one of the things that summer allows us to do is to stop and reflect on our lives. And that's exactly what I want to do today as we begin the series called Habits for Life, because I want to look at some of the habits that if we were to cultivate in our lives, in this season of rest as we're kind of evaluating, if we were to cultivate these habits, they would not only add to our life, but they would bring life, they would breathe fresh life into our souls. And these are spiritual disciplines that help us grow deep, not only in the knowledge of God, but in our relationship with God, in the depth of Him, and clearly learning to hear and discern from God. We'll all take a sip of that. See, how many of you in the room today would say, I really want to learn to hear God more clearly and more regularly? How many guys with a raise of hands? Okay, good. I think that's most of us. Cool. So this message is for you. See, because... our habits, Joe's like, yes, double portion. We all have habits in life. And some of our habits come by accident. You know, things that we just do, we kind of fall into habits. We usually say we fall into bad habits, right? And some of the habits we develop are things that we cultivate, things that we work towards, things that we say, I want to begin exercising, or I want to begin doing something else that may be out of the ordinary, but they're things that we have to cultivate in our lives. Because habits by nature are habitual. They're things that we just do over and over instinctively as we've developed these habits. In fact, I want you to do something with me today, just as an experiment. I want you to go ahead, and I can't do it because I've got a mic, but I want you to cross your arms. Now, let me ask you, which arm is on top? See, I've got my left arm on top. Why don't you switch it? Try and switch it if you can. Doesn't that feel gross? It's disgusting, right? Okay, now I want you to interlock your fingers. Now, how many of you are like me, like the right way, and you have your right hand, your right fingers on top? How many of you are weird? I'm a left-handed person, but how many put the left finger up? Yeah. Now try and switch it. Do it the other way. Doesn't that feel gross? I can't even do that. It's giving me the heebie-jeebies. See, we all develop habits, some of which we don't even notice, like that, like the way that we cross our fingers. But everyone does it differently, it seems. Some of you are weirdos and you'll do it both ways, but most of us, we know the right way from the wrong way. But the thing about it is, in life, we've got to develop some habits that can bring us life. In fact, if you're taking notes, the first blank is this. We need to develop habits that can spiritually sustain us. Habits that will bring us life. And that's what I want to talk about over the next couple of weeks, because as we journey into God's word and hear what God has to say about some of these healthy habits, these are habits that will bring us life. In fact, if we will establish these, if we will dig deep into these, I promise God will change your life in some way. So to kick this off, we're going to look at a parable that Jesus talks about from the book of Mark, the parable of the sower. In our intro video, it referenced a seed. In fact, I've got a seed in my hand today. And we're going to look at what God says about the condition of our hearts. Because the reality is that God wants to change us. God wants to do amazing things in and through our lives. But what matters is the condition of our hearts, how available we are to God moving and doing something in our midst. So here's what it says in Mark chapter 4. In fact, before we get into God's word, can we prepare ourselves? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which is living and active. We thank you, God, that this word is alive. Today we invite you, Holy Spirit of God, to speak a fresh word to us as we dig into your word, illuminated in a way that will bring life to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said? Amen. Amen. You guys sound good today, by the way. All right, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 3 through 9, says this. Listen. Hey, I love when Jesus yells. Listen, he said. He said, a sower went out to sow. What does that mean? That means a farmer went out to plant some seeds. None of us are sowers. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. Immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away and died. Other seed, he said, fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. But other seed, Jesus says, fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Lord, would you let us hear from your word today, we ask. See, not many of us are farmers. Any farmers in the house? It's like, that's what you do, you're a farmer. Yeah, you raise your hand, are you a farmer? Okay, cool. See, but not many of us are farmers, but Jesus gives us this parable, and he's talking to farmers, but he's talking to us as well, and he's telling us that there's something that's important. It's important for us to cultivate healthy soil in our heart that will allow us to receive from God, that will allow us to take what God is speaking to us, take what the seed that God is sending our way, and to use it. And here's the big idea. We've got to prepare ourselves to receive from God. Now, this is one of those things that if you really want to receive all that God has, you've got to be ready. You've got to prepare yourselves, prepare your hearts to hear from God. See, seeds are tiny things, but they can produce an entire forest of trees. See, this little seed is from an apple. I enjoyed a nice apple this morning. And I harvested this seed. And within this seed contains an entire forest of apple trees. The potential for numerous trees and numerous fruit from those trees exists all within this seed. Now, what matters is what I do with this seed, where I place this seed. Because if I throw it in the trash can, it's going to do nothing. But if I were to take this seed and plant it in soil that was prepared and ready, then it would yield something quite amazing. See, God has given each and every one of us seeds of potential. Within your life, God has put seeds of potential. And what matters is the availability of our hearts to receiving all that God has for us and to making space for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. See, some of us have not made space for God. So Jesus talks about the conditions of our hearts in this parable. It's not about dirt, believe it or not. Jesus is talking about us. He's talking about our hearts and our willingness to receive from God. See, we are the sum of our choices and decisions that we make. And some of us think that, man, I'll make those decisions later in life. But we never make the decisions for the kind of life we're going to live for God on our deathbed. We make those decisions today. We decide here and now whether we will choose to follow God and walk in his ways and make space for him to do what he wants to do. See, the reality, the Bible describes that this idea that God has a plan for your life, God has a purpose within your life, but the other reality that's true is that the devil does too. And it's our job as followers of Jesus to discern the will of God, to hear the voice of God, and to say, Lord, what is it that you're wanting me to do with my life? How would you have me invest my life? See, because God has a plan, but so does the enemy of your soul. In fact, Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So there's a dynamic that's at play within our world that God does have a purpose and a desire and a plan for your life, and he wants your life to be an abundant life, to thrive, as he takes the seed that this is the same seed, and he roots it into your heart that you might yield an abundant crop. See, the Bible over and over again tells us that so very often we focus on the wrong things, don't we? We're looking on the outside stuff, and God says, I look at the heart. To God, what's on the inside is what really matters, and God wants us to cultivate a heart posture that's ready to receive from him. So, I want to look at this scripture just a little bit. What do we do when God speaks? Jesus gives us a couple options, a couple ways that we can respond when he speaks to us. The first is this, if you're taking notes. How do we respond when God speaks? Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss it because we're not listening. We're just not listening. We're not paying attention. What does he say? So this is like seed that fell along the path. It says, as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. See, the soil that was along the path was hard. You ever walked on a dirt path? Like, there may be loose dirt, but when you're walking on a path, it tends to be beaten down. It tends to be packed in. It seems to be firm. And what God is saying to us is that those seeds cannot penetrate the firmness of that ground. And so too our hearts, when our hearts have become hardened to God, we've stopped listening, he can't bear fruit in our lives as well. You and I are just like that, aren't we? Sometimes. There's times where we miss out on what's happening all around us because we're too preoccupied. We're focused on the wrong things at the wrong time. You know, my children have taught me this lesson in the last couple months several times. Hey, Dad, look at me. Hey, Dad, watch this. And what they're saying to me is, hey, Dad, you're paying attention to the wrong stuff. Stop staring into your little zombie device and look at me. And sometimes our children have to remind us of those things. Because we have an ability to miss out on the things that are really important for the things that seem to grab our attention but maybe aren't so important. See, psychologists have a name for this. They call it inattention blindness. And it explains why people with perfectly good vision can miss out on things that are super obvious. I was going to play a video clip, but I decided not. But this idea that we can be in a crowded space and miss things that are blatantly obvious because for one reason or another, we've trained our minds to ignore things. I mean, when you think about it, the amount of stimuli that comes through our eyes and through our ears, if we were to pay attention to everything that happened around us, I think our brains would explode. Right? I mean, we just wouldn't be able to do it. I always wonder, I marvel sometimes when I'm having a conversation with someone in a restaurant that's loud, how I can even do it. I mean, there's people walking around and there's servers talking to other people and there's conversations right next to me and there's stuff happening and I'm trying to eat food. And it's like, and somehow I'm able to concentrate. And our brains have been trained that way to ignore those things. But the problem with that is that sometimes we can do that to God. Sometimes we can learn to tune God's voice out, to stop listening to what God is wanting to speak to us. See, we're experts at tuning stuff out, aren't we? And I'm going to pick on the guys for a moment, especially us guys and particularly dads. We have this like superpower. You guys know what I'm talking about? Dads, you're like, no, not me. See, we have this thing, I call it dad hearing. I thought only my dad had it, but then I became a dad and now I've got it. Where my wife, she's got like spidey sense. Like she's like, we'll be listening to a movie or something and she'll be like, hold on. I hear a baby crying 8 miles from here. Do you hear it? Like she can just sense. But the dads, we're different. Like, I could be in a quiet room when my son is right next to me saying, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And I'm like, "Wait, what's happening?" And my wife will walk by and say, "Are you hearing him?" Oh, yeah. But isn't it true? We can ignore things. We can tune things out. And what God is saying to us is that we've got to make space. I'm telling on myself. We've got to make space to hear from God. We've got to carve that out and be intentional about making room to hear from him. Space to slow down, to sometimes turn down the background noise and tune in to the voice of God. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I wonder what would happen in our lives if we would take scriptures like that to heart. If we would, in the chaos and the busyness of our lives, just stop and be still. It'd be awkward. It might be uncomfortable at first. But I believe that God wants us to pause, that our hearts might be prepared to hear from him. We have to be still, to slow down occasionally, that we might hear from God. See, there's times where I will look in the mirror and I just keep waiting for the muscles, the guns I had in my youth to come back. But then I realize something, that I've got to exercise those muscles to get them back. I mean, I know I'm pretty big now, but I used to be even bigger. No, I'm just kidding. But I have to exercise. And so too do we in our relationship with God. We've got to prepare ourselves. We've got to make space for God to speak. And sometimes that means stopping and pausing and being still. So how do we respond when God speaks? The first way is sometimes we miss it because we're not listening. The second way we respond is we ignore it because we don't want to hear what God has to say. God calls this rocky soil. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. It was like, "Whoa, look at me, I'm a plant." But since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it died because it had no deep roots to sustain it when times got tough. See, Jesus compares the seed that falls on the rocky ground. He says, we have a tendency to be fair weather followers, to be fair weather Christians, to have this tendency to when things are going good, we'll say, "God, I really want to walk with you." But then things go a different direction. And when we don't need something from God, we forget about him. Or when things get tough, when following God means I've got to sacrifice in some way, whether that's through giving of my time or giving of my resources or giving something up that I really like to do because God is saying I shouldn't do it anymore, then when those things come our way, we're like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm out." See, oftentimes we want God to conform to our image instead of conforming our lives to his. We say, "God, I want you to be in my image." But we don't realize that, just as we prayed this morning, that each one of us are made in his image. And it's our job to mirror ourselves after his character and what he's like, not the other way around. See, we think that God exists for our pleasure. And this is the sort of Christian thought, I won't even call it Christian thought, this is the sort of misunderstanding of God that leads to lives that don't produce any fruit, leads to lives that don't do much of anything. These are the men and women that think of God as a heavenly slot machine, right? "God, when I need something, I'm just going to pull the handle and hope that it starts raining down money or raining down whatever it is that I need in this moment. But the rest of the time, I'm not interested." It's kind of like people that will say, "God, I will serve you. I'm going to spring up when I hear the good news of Jesus. But when I have to read those passages about taking up my cross and following after you, of laying down my life for you, man, I'm gone. I don't want any of that business. That's too hard." See, they say of fair weather friends that they're the type of friends that are only there when life is good. When you're good and everything is happy and the sun is shining. But when it starts to get cloudy in our lives, we really realize those people that are really there as friends. Because those people that are fair weather friends, man, when the clouds start to come, they're gone. I mean, they're gone faster than the donuts outside of church on Sunday. And that's fast. You guys eat a lot of donuts. See, some of us are fair weather friends of Jesus. We serve God when it's convenient or when it fits into our category of what we want. But God wants us to listen, even when it's hard. So how do we respond? Sometimes we miss it. Other times we ignore it because we don't want to hear. The third way we respond is we're unmoved by it because we're too busy. And Jesus calls this the thorny soil. He said, "Your seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain." See, we have so many things pulling for our time, don't we? I mean, I always marvel when I'm out in a public place, whether it's a baseball game or I'm on a train, mass transit of some sort, and you look around and you see all the zombies, and I left my phone intentionally out of my pocket, but we're all staring at our phones, and it's. I was commenting on that to my dad, and he said, "Well, yeah, but in my generation, all the guys on the train just had newspapers instead." We've always had something to distract us, something to preoccupy us, something to pour our time into. But there's something unique about the screen zombies. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, these are the kind of people that, man, a real zombie could walk in front of them and they would miss it because they're so focused on their phones. Come on, you know it's true. But there's so many things that can distract us, can choke out the work that God wants to do in our lives because we're just too busy. We've got too much on our plate, too many things vying for our attention, vying for our ears and vying for our eyes that we can't fix our eyes on Jesus anymore. We can't open our ears to hear what he has to say anymore. See, there's a spiritual discipline that's necessary today, probably more than ever. One of cultivating the soil of our hearts, of saying, "God, what are the weeds that you want me to remove? What are the things that are distracting me from doing what you would have for my life? The things that are choking out the fruit that you're wanting to grow in my life?" Because at every one of our lives, there's moments we have to pause and say, "God, what are the weeds? Help me to define the weeds." See, Jesus explains it a little bit further in Mark 4:18. He says, "The others that are sown among the thorns, this is what they're like. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Say unfruitful. Unfruitful. God doesn't want us to be unfruitful. God wants our lives to be fruitful. And Jesus says the cares of our world can sometimes choke out the work that God is wanting to do in us. Even the things that God has planted in us and as we've cultivated, if we're not careful, those other things, the other desires of the world can choke out those things. I wonder how many times I've missed the fruitfulness that God has for my life because, man, I've just got too much on my plate. Too many good things that aren't God things. Because God things aren't going to choke out what God is wanting to do, but the weeds will. And I wonder how many times I've missed out on hearing from God because I haven't prepared my heart by pulling the weeds. Now, when I was a kid, man, my dad, the biggest, worst punishment he could ever give me and my brother, he'd give us a 50-gallon black trash bag and say, "Go pull weeds." And to this day, I still cannot pull weeds. I'm like terrified of it. Amen. Hallelujah. But sometimes in our hearts, we've got to do just that. We've got to go around and look for the weeds. Say, "God, is this a weed?" And say, "No, that's a flower. It's coming up. Wait for it. God, is this a weed?" "Yeah, that is a weed. Pull it out." And we've got to take the time and go through the spiritual discipline to say, "Lord, would you help me to see the weeds?" See, we've got to pray that the God of heaven would fix our eyes in the direction it should go. When life wants to distract us in a million different ways, we've got to pray the prayer of David. Say, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways," he says. The author of Hebrews says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." See, God wants us to focus on the things that really matter in our lives, but sometimes we've got to pull the weeds so that we can see where God is leading us to go. And when life gets crowded and noisy, And when those voices are pulling us in a million different directions, we've got to still ourselves and say, Lord, would you help me to fix my eyes on you? Would you help me to see you in the midst of this chaos? So how do we respond? We can miss it. We can ignore it. We can be unmoved by it. Or finally, Jesus says, we can receive it and obey it. And he calls this the good soil. He said, and other seeds fell into the good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Lord, would you open our ears to hear what you're wanting? See, Jesus gives us this ideal. He says, if our hearts will be prepared, then he can do something in us that will be abundantly more than we could ever imagine. He'll put a seed in and it'll increase 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. For some of you in this place, we're probably not farmers. I'm certainly not. If you want to kill a garden, give me the keys to it. Because that's just me. But there's one thing I do know about farming is that you can have the best dirt in the world, but if it hasn't been prepared, it's not going to yield good fruit. It's not going to grow plants the way you want it to. You've got to prepare it. You've got to pull out the old roots. You've got to pull out the weeds. You've got to pull out the boulders and the rocks and the things that are there so that it can be good. And you've got to turn it over and get it ready. See, you can have the best ground in the world. In fact, there's some naturally occurring great ground. It's got great vitamins, apparently. I don't know. I can't grow anything. But you can have the best soil in the world, but if it's not been prepared, it won't grow anything. If it's hard, you can throw a seed on it and it's just going to bounce. Just like Jesus said, the birds will come and get it. But even with good soil, you have to prepare it. You have to get it ready. Let me just say something to some of you in this room. I'll say it to all of you, but I believe God may be speaking it to some of you. God wants your life to be fruitful. Some of us have stopped being fruitful. God has not been able to do anything in your life in a long time. He wants you to be fruitful. See, he says, I don't want you to be unfruitful. And for some of you, God has not been able to speak to you. He's not been able to do a great work in your life, maybe in a long time, maybe ever. And here's what God would speak to you. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. See, God is the farmer. His seed is all the same. Some of us look at what God has done in our lives. We say, God, the seed you gave me kind of stinks, right? The seed you gave me, if only you had given me the seed you gave that guy. If only you'd given me the talent you'd given that girl. Then, God, I would be fruitful. But God says, I'm the one that scatters the seed. What matters is the condition of your heart. It's the same seed. The same seed can produce no fruit because the birds eat it up. It can produce shallow fruit. It can get choked out by weeds, or it can yield an abundant fruit. 60, 100-fold what he's put in us. So some of us need to stop by saying, God, why haven't you given me the good seed? And say, God, would you help me to prepare my heart that what you've put inside of me might flourish and might grow? See, we've got to daily prepare our hearts to receive all that God has for us. Amen? Would you bow with me as we respond to the Lord and conclude our time together? See, I believe God is here in this place. The Bible declares that where two or more are gathered in his name, he is here. God, you are here. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you to speak to us. We thank you for your word. Let me ask you the question, what is the condition of your heart? Are you hearing from God on a regular basis? See, I believe God was calling each one of us to open our ears today, to prepare ourselves to receive from God. Perhaps maybe you've allowed the soil of your heart to become hardened towards God. For one reason or another, you've stopped listening. You've tuned God out. You've put the earplugs in. And this morning, God is calling you to pull those plugs out, to tune your ears again into hearing what God has for you, to soften the soil of your heart. God wants to help you do that today. Others of you have ignored the voice of God because God hasn't given you the answer that you wanted. Maybe you prayed for something that you hoped for, or you wanted something and God didn't do what you wanted him to do. So you've stopped listening. Maybe you've run from God. It's time to come home. It's time to come back to God. He wants to speak afresh in your life. He wants to yield an abundant fruitfulness in your life again today. And others of you, for one reason or another, have just been unmoved by God's voice. You've allowed the worries and the things of life to choke out God's work. God is calling you in this season to prune away the weeds. God has grace for you today. Our only response is to say, Lord, I want to do your will. Our only response is to turn back to God, to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. To say, Jesus, I need a touch from you today. If God's speaking that to you about responding to his voice, would you pray with me right where you are? You don't have to do anything weird. Just pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are the God who chose to love us. Father, we thank you that you're still speaking through your word. You're still speaking. Lord, would you help us to hear? Help us to still our lives, to pause, that we might hear your voice afresh. God, I want the seed of your word to grow deep into my heart, to yield an abundant fruitfulness that will change not only my life and my family's life, but will change the world. God, would you use my life in that way? Where my heart has become hardened to you, God, would you till the soil? Would you help me to break up the hardness of my own heart? Those areas that I've kept private from you, those things that I've tried to keep back from you, Lord, I surrender those. And I ask you to make my heart soft again. God, where I've allowed the rocks of my past, the things of other allegiance to take precedence, that have prevented you from going deep in my heart, Lord, would you help me to remove those rocks? Be the bulldozer that pulls them out. I surrender those things to you. And finally, God, where there's thorns, where I've allowed the cares of this world to choke out the work you're doing, would you help me to weed those out, to pull them out that they might not interfere with what you want to do? God, give me wisdom to know what are the weeds and what are the baby plants that you've birthed in me. Help me know, to know the difference. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I believe there may be someone here that needs to take the very first step of faith. You might be here and you've heard about this grace, you've heard about this love of God, but you've never received God's free gift of grace through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to make space available for you to do just that. If you're here today, I don't believe you're here by mistake. I believe God's called you here. And if that's you and you've never received God's free gift of mercy and grace, I want to invite you in just a moment to respond. Now, I'm not going to call you down front or to do anything weird, but I want to respond by, with every other head bowed and eye closed, have you raise up your hand and let our eyes meet so I can agree with you in prayer. If there's anyone in the room today, you say, that's me. I want to take that first step of faith. Would you lift up your hand now? Let our eyes meet. I want to agree with you in prayer. Yes, I see you. Bless you. Anyone else? Church, can we pray this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you all my days. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate?